District 4 Racine County Board Supervisor Melissa Caprillion in this morning. We got a lot to talk about.
Yes,
some of it's not going to be pleasant.
I got answers this time, though, Don.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's talk about that rotten road, County C, which makes it a county road.
Yeah.
And it's Spring Street. And it's, I know you have to do construction. I understand that part. That's not the part I'm talking about, where the hospital is and all the road closures. I understand things have to be fixed. I get that part. It's the other part by Pick and Save on Spring Street, where it's just, and this has been like this for years. This didn't just happen. Bum, 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 bum. For some reason, and I got to have somebody in who builds roads. Tell me why when you fix the roads, you did it in strips. You didn't fix the road. You just put new strips in. And over time, those strips settle. You get bum, 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 bum. It got to the point where when we go to church on Spring Street, we have to go all around Northwestern Avenue, all the way to H down. We will not go on Spring Street because it's rotten road.
Yeah.
And that's where you come into
that's
the scene.
That's where now I come in. And I just want to make it clear to the listeners. So this is not my area. My supervisory district area is near the zoo.
Here it comes, the distancing.
But I know every time I come on the Don Rosen Show, we talk about Spring Street. So we got some answers for you.
Okay.
And today, so it will start a project of resurfacing the third of the mile that you're talking about, which is Newman Road to 31.
Right.
And it'll take about a week long, complete detour. So that part will be shut down for a week and it's going to be, you know, closed to the through traffic.
I saw the close signs
up. Yeah.
And when is this taking place now?
Now, this week, it's going to take place. So,
wow.
Isn't that great, Don? And we'll give credit to you. We'll definitely give credit.
I knew you had an answer because it was number one on the list.
It was.
And I know people in politics generally don't bring things to the surface where they don't have an answer or it's not going to look good for them.
I couldn't have it holding on us throughout this whole morning. So let's just get.
Oh, so that's going to be fit. And the other part they're
let's
doing.
Let's talk about the other part.
What,
yeah.
Water, so, sewer? What is that?
No. So Spring Street from Ohio to Fairway is being fully reconstructed. So it will be open, though. There's one lane way.
Yeah.
It's going to go until the summer of 2027. And there was a bit of a delay because of utilities, not the county. That stretch will, again, stay open the whole time. There'll be some crossover.
It's not the county.
It is not the county.
Let's get that straight from the get-go. It's not the county. Okay.
But there is going to be resurfacing. So isn't that great?
Yeah, it is great. Now, it's one lane. And when the garbage truck comes down there and has to stop at everybody's house to empty the garbage, the line of cars behind that stretches for, as the Who once said, I could see for miles, miles. It really goes because it's got to stop and you only got one lane.
So enjoy your different reroutes in Racine. You know, there's other streets. I mean, Spring Street is convenient for most. But even that part that they're resurfacing, it is completely shut down for through traffic.
On both sides.
Okay. However, there is going to be a way for residents and business owners.
Excellent.
To go through and get the garbage picked up. So. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we got that. So talk to me now next time we get on, you're going to be so happy. You're going to have to find a different road.
No, what I'm going to say is you promised that street would be fixed.
But I will tell you, we're hoping there is a very good chance. This is coming right from the director of Public Works for the county in 2030, 2031 for a complete reconstruction of that bit. So hopefully some state funding will come in at that time.
Now, I know this isn't directly the county's problem, but those railroad tracks are just horrendous. They're the road tracks when you cross by Memorial Hall, Horlick Field.
Yeah.
Those railroad tracks. I mean, you could take an axle out even when you go slowly over those. And some of them on Spring Street, some are okay, but some they're horrendous going over those railroad tracks.
They are, and
I know it's the railroad's problem.
However, Don, I want to tell you that was the one thing when I first got elected years ago, because Yelp was horrible, and so was Gould Street railroad tracks. Same description that you're giving right now, and there's like nobody can get the railroad tracks done. It's the railroad company. However, I was like, nobody can tell me. I'm brand new, and it was like, I can get it done. Sure enough, I got both those completed. So
But some of the tracks, they have like a metal thing you ride over, yeah. and it's smooth as silk. Otherwise, other than you just, they try to patch it with, you know, gravel, you know, the black tar stuff.
Asphalt.
Yeah. They try to patch it, and it doesn't work. And you're going, bum, 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 over that. And I know it's not your problem.
It's not, but it can be done, I guess is my point. I'm trying to think who is the elected right there.
Who could we threaten? We need somebody to threaten.
You know what? I always say go to David Mack. He's the fun one.
Yeah, but he comes up with some kind of cockamamie reason why it can't be done.
So well. Yeah, I'm just having fun with David. Yeah. But I'm trying to think if that is the 4th district right there. But I was doing bike path cleanups and along the whole stretch of the bike path, and I got Union Pacific involved. They shut down the railroad for me. So we cleaned, they brought a boom arm, helped clean out all along the between the bike path and the railroad. And that's when I said, come for a ride with me. Hopped in their truck on the track and we went over.
Oh, you did one of those trucks with the wheels go up and they got the train track stuff
right
on it.
So that was fun. So we did a little ride, and then shortly thereafter they had an agreement with the city. They worked with the former Department of Public Works Director Mark Galen, and they got those done. Yeah. So maybe there's a possibility, but don't hold me to that on the next time I get on.
Oh, I'm holding you to it.
No.
I'm holding you to everything. Melissa Caprillion, our District 4 Racine County Board Supervisors here today. Got a list of things to talk about. Talked about Spring Street, talked about the railroad. So far, good news.
Yes,
all right. Talk about the county budget season is coming up now, where you're going to have to find some money to fix things.
Yeah, it's just know that our county budget is usually voted on, it's voted on in fall. But discussions are happening now, and this is kind of maybe a misconception or just something that people don't think about. You know, we have a public comment portion of every meeting, and it's a good time throughout the year to talk about the things that matter to you, because this is when we start thinking about it too. The county executive is building his budget, but we're working within that budget that we passed the previous fall for the whole year, but it's pretty fluid. And just like if somebody were to look at our county board agenda for this Tuesday, you'll see a lot of transfers, and it's just to kind of make things right, things that weren't foreseen. We've brought up some things are going to be brought up at tomorrow's meeting too, that weren't foreseen when we passed the budget in fall. So I guess the whole point is to get people to start watching and paying attention to what's going on within the municipality, because when we get our budget bill, that's usually when people start to, you know, start being boisterous. But the time is now. And it's good to know what's going on. I mean, there's things that are the city and the county, but I'll just use an example with the city. You know, you're noticing whether your garbage is getting picked up or your streets are getting plowed or if they're not. And let's say, do you remember when we went to the 2-week schedule for our recycling, for example? And that was a budget move. So people start, you know, getting upset during that time. All of a sudden they realize it's every 2 week, but the time to start following and to loan your voice to the discussion is earlier part of the year, especially right now, come summer. That's when the department heads are presenting to the county executive or the mayor and, you know, talk to your elected officials. So it can really have a big impact. That's what's great about local government is you can definitely impact your municipal processing and how the city and the county functions. So you don't quite see things at the state and the federal level, but you can make an impact here locally.
Which is tougher, dealing with city budgets or county? I know they each have their quirks, but which is tougher to deal with?
Oh, my goodness. I really was going to go in a different direction, but I'm going to say the city. The county is a lot of mandated services, so a lot of frustration is the restraints we have. So you have mandates put on you, but yet they don't increase their dollars from the state. So that is very frustrating at the county because we have to implement those services. But the city, I think the frustrating part is is you have different philosophies and people working within different visions, and you have a little bit more wiggle room on where taxpayer dollars go. Not a little, a lot more wiggle room. And so if you don't agree with the vision of the mayor, for example, and he presents the budget, but it is the legislators who look at that budget and are the one who pass it. So it's a little misconception. People are like, oh, it's the mayor's budget. It actually is the legislative body's budget, because you have your, you represent the constituency. And so it's your chance to be able to make amendments to what you feel fits. And that's a bit of the frustration. So my vote is the city budget is more frustrating because there's a little more flexibility with how you spend the dollars. The county, it's really a lot of mandated money.
Let's talk about the opioid settlement.
Yeah. So the opioid settlement is opioid money had come to Wisconsin because of a lot of the drug companies. We have overdoses, and a lot of discovery has happened over the years with some of these prescription drugs that have gone out, and it's caused a lot of financial troubles, not just where you would just see it financially, but you see our jail population increasing, people who are addicted and things along those lines. So right now, it can cost the county over $2,000 a day for a person to be sent away into an institution. So settlement dollars are restricted money that have come in, and it's actually quite a bit. It's $874 million by 2038 that Wisconsin local governments will be getting for those opioid money. But the county, we're going to have an update on Tuesday how we've been spending those dollars. But a lot of those monies are coming in, you know, for grant money and stuff like that. And it's going for a mental health facility. So that is a very big win for Racine. And we have those who are going to be able to utilize here local, not being shipped away to some other county when they're needing some treatment. To be right here in the community, getting your services that are like a campus feel, because we have the Cornwall building across the street and just a really great connection of county services. And so when you leave even the facility, you have direct access to continual care. Really big win for a problem that is huge, and it's across everywhere. I mean, Don, I'm sure it's opioid issues aren't unique to anyone.
But, you know, this is a problem people bring upon themselves. This is totally, you can get rid of this problem, but people bring it upon themselves when they start taking these opioids.
But yeah, I'm going to tell you, Don, it sounds that simple, but there's a lot of, let's say, self-medication, people with mental illness that is of no fault to them.
Right, but it's something that could have been prevented at the beginning. I understand
it's
what
deep.
You're saying.
It's deep. There's many, many layers for sure. Uh-huh. It is deep, but I wish it was that simple for sure, but sometimes it's the answer. And sometimes when people do take some type of drugs and, you know, legal drugs or even prescription drugs, it's the first time in their life they feel some sense of normalcy, but then all the havoc then happens right after that. So it's quite sad. But right now, so we're building the alternative here. So state and grants for construction and operation. So those opioid settlement dollars in a mix will help here, at least in Racine. So
municipalities and county police services next on the list here.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Big, big story.
Do you have your keys attached to that phone, too?
Don, it's my purse.
So if you lose your phone, you lose your purse, you lose your key, you lose your life right there.
I know. But you know what? It is so rare for people not to have their cell phone. This is a genius solution, truly, because you could leave your keys somewhere, right? Or your wallet. I won't, because once you drop your phone, your phone's 3 feet away from you, you feel naked.
You know what it is? So my wife is constantly saying, call my phone. I can't find, call my phone. I have a comedy bit we have. Call my phone. Call my, I can't find my phone. Call my, oh, there it is.
Don, have you ever been on your phone and looking for your phone?
Yes.
Has that ever happened?
Yes. It's happened here. I'm holding the phone, reading something. All of a sudden, what happened to it? It used to be there. Oh, it's in my hand.
You see the feeling of nakedness? That is why. So this is a great case
and
I have.
And we brought it upon ourselves.
Yes, we have brought it.
Another self-inflicted problem.
But I'm promoting this case. It's a case that has a little compartment for my credit card and my key fob. That's not what it's built for. It's really for credit cards, but there's enough room in there for me to squeeze my key fob. And then I have my house key attached to
it. My wife's got three cell phones going all at once. She's got her main one, and then she's got her two previous iPhones she uses for, you know, doing stuff online and stuff. Because you can use that as long as you don't need a phone number.
Yeah.
And so she's got three of them going. Now, the problem is she's using all the chargers in the house for her phones. And I got to charge mine. And, well, I'm charging those two phones over there. But I know, but it's my nightstand. Why did you take over my nightstand? You have your own nightstand. Well, the other phone's charging over there. Yeah, I know, but
you got to get those charging plates then where you can just put your.
No, we need to down. We need to get one phone per person.
Okay,
that's what we need.
OK. I'm not joining this battle here, so I can't be for you.
Oh, you're in the battle.
Oh, no.
You're in the battle. You've entered the battle.
Oh, no.
You started the whole thing.
Great. Well, let's hurry up and get back to sheriff services.
OK, we're going to hold you over because okay. I got a bunch of things here. But municipal Perfect. And county police services. Let's
yep.
talk about that.
So across Wisconsin, a lot of the small municipalities are giving up their own police departments and contracting with the county sheriff. It's not because of crime. It's really about the arithmetic of it. Strict property tax limits for over a decade. State aids shrinking and small departments that can't compete on wages or fill their shifts. So, for example, I don't know if you remember about Sturtevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the most recent that, you know, I saw that made some splash across the news media. But their trustee said it saved them roughly $3.5 million over 5 years. So it's really about the numbers, and we don't want, you know, for the village, it makes sense. You know, they do the math. It's really hard on them. But contracting with sheriff service who already knows the area and are really well equipped, I mean, it just makes sense, these consolidation. But there are certain oversights us at the county supervisors really have to keep in mind. You know, we don't want to just shift that complete burden then onto you know, another taxing body base. So, we wanted to make sense on both sides of it. So on Tuesday, tomorrow, we're going to vote on a template, a formula that's set for all the villages. Right now, it's going from village to village. We were looking at different contracts or just looking at different plans. So now we're going to have a set contract going forward, or a set formula or a template. So when other municipalities want to consider or are considering, they'll know the numbers. They'll
know. That's good. That's a good
idea. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, but again, Racine County is not alone in this, where we're seeing smaller municipalities really trying to look to get sheriff services. So it makes sense, just like how joint dispatch made sense. So I think we're going to see more of it. You know, budgets aren't expanding. They're definitely shrinking.
District 4, Racine County Board Supervisor, Melissa Caprillion here. So where's your district exactly? What's the boundaries here?
Yeah, you know, I always say the zoo, which the zoo is not in my district, but it helps give people a marker. I used to go past Main Street by the zoo, but now it's just a little short of it. The lines are not square, so it would just confuse people, but because it confuses me as well. It just kind of zigzags across. So let's just say to Douglas Avenue, to almost the zoo area. And we have north to, well, where is north to? It's past Melvin. And
somewhere over there.
It's over there. It's just the north side
yeah.
of Racine. It's just, it's really jagged. It's not a straight line.
No, it's a
so.
north side. You guys say like,
yeah.
like the Diubers. It's on the north side.
In the
somewhere.
North side.
North.
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 North side. Okay, let's talk about the Racine County Fair. It gets underway this week.
Yeah.
I am going.
You are going?
Well, yeah.
Are you going to have a booth there?
No, I'm going to have a booth there. I'm going to walk around and enjoy it.
Okay. That's great. No, that's so good. It is
I think
a
my
fun
church
thing
has a booth there, though.
That's good.
Yeah. used to broadcast from there every year. Now I'm just a visitor to like everybody else.
It's great. You should be enjoying. Now it's time for you to enjoy it. And it opens Wednesday. It'll run through Sunday. It's out in Union Grove. Adult tickets are about $12. Seniors get a discount at $9. Kids 7 and under are free. On Wednesday, though, you can bring 3 non-perishable food items and get half off of adult admission. So Wednesday's the day to go. It's good to see all that work a lot of the kids have been doing with their animals.
I do love going to the 4-H exhibits, though.
I really enjoy it.
And my wife told stories, and I think she'll deny it today, but she used to sneak in. She lived in Union Grove. And back when she was a little girl, her and her brother used to sneak in under the fence. Now, she says she didn't. I remember hearing the story, so I think she's just sneaking.
Now we go
into the front entrance. We don't have to sneak in anymore. Okay, that's the Racine County Fair. I love it. S.C. Johnson's Community Aquatic Center.
Yeah, this aquatic center, people don't realize maybe, but it's county-owned. And S.C. Johnson's center over there, it's by Pritchard Park, and it's open through the end of August. And if you live in Racine County, adult tickets are $10. Seniors get a discount at $8. Kids are $5. But a family of 4 is $27 a day, which is a great deal for a family activity. There's water slides there. And it's a good deal. And it's a good cool off. This temperature has been so hot. So great place to go. And if you remember what Pritchard Park looked like, you know, this was really a vision of our former Jonathan Delagrave, County Executive Jonathan Delagrave. You know, we really got to give him credit. Every time I drive by or if I'm going there, I really think a lot about Jonathan Delagrave. You know, you see the football, the stadium too, or the field there, and you see people playing, the schools playing at it. That was his vision. So this is something he left behind.
Now, we mentioned Tuesday's county board meeting. Anything else we missed? By the way, can anybody go there and start a ruckus? Can anybody go there and give their opinion on something?
Absolutely. Come. Please do. We love when people come and speak their opinion. You'll have an opportunity at the beginning of the board meeting. You get a 3-minute opportunity, but you'll have more time. You know, your representative is there. You can always bend their ear, and we'd love to have you. And if you can't come, because I know it's way out on Ives Grove, so it's right where Spring and Washington.
Way out. That's right. You got to take the rotten road to get there. Okay.
Where Spring and Washington meet, right past the interstate there. Yeah. Watch it. We now it's all live. You can watch it from YouTube. Live, but if you don't know how to search for that on YouTube, go to the Facebook page, Racine County's Facebook page, and they'll link you right to our live stream.
Can you put unhappy emoji on there when you?
You could, but why would you?
Or happy emoji. You know, let me finish. Or a happy emoji.
The thumbs up emoji.
Thumbs up emoji.
Yes, yes. Follow us. And you know what? If you follow, even on the Facebook page, it alerts you when we go live at the county because all of our meetings are now streamed. And when they're streamed, that means they're also archived. So you can go back if a topic was important to you and you missed it, how the discussion went, go back and look at our recorded meetings. So, and you can watch them live and not just the minutes. The minutes sometimes are sparing on how we report, but you can watch it live and see exactly what was said.
Armenian Fest coming up, huh?
Yes,
this is
I'm
your baby.
So
huh?
glad yeah. we got to this. So St. Mesrobes Armenian Fest is up and coming here the first Sunday in August, always is. But today, listeners, there is a great opportunity to give you something unique to do. We're looking for some helping hands to roll sarma. Those are the stuffed grape leaves. They're seasoned with rice and sometimes meat in there. And we need some help. Lots of sarma. People love them, not just those who are Armenian. So today from 9:30 to 5 o'clock at St. Mesrobes Church on Erie Street. So 4605 Erie Street. Costs nothing. You can come. You need not to be an expert grape leaf roller. Just come park in the back. There'll be doors in the back open that go right into their gymnasium there. So that, Don, I hope you could come. maybe you and your wife want to stop by and
I got squirrels in the attic. I got to get rid of today.
Oh my goodness!
I got those little squatters up there.
I guarantee your squirrels will be there for you, and you can lend some time. But it is really fun. Get part of, learn some culture. Are we going to have the opportunity to talk about National Night Out?
Go ahead.
We can? Oh, great.
It wasn't on your list, but go ahead.
Yeah, it was my added.
I didn't see that. Oh, I didn't copy that. Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
you that's can talk okay. About, but ahead, it is such it. A great thing for just across the nation. You know, National Night Out is going to be August 4th, Tuesday, always the first Tuesday in August. This started back in 1984, and the idea was almost an absurdly simple one. Turn on your porch light and go sit out on the front porch. That was the whole program. Because a block where people knew each other's name is a harder block to commit a crime. So that's kind of the philosophy and the concept. And residents and police ought to meet each other on good nights, not, you know, like on a cookout, not on the worst night of somebody's life. So this year, there's always a kickoff location that starts National Night Out. This year, it's going to be on Monument Square right in downtown. So I think it's a terrific move that Racine Neighborhood Watch decided on. And they put it there so everyone can see it. There is a COP house downtown, the newest COP house. So you can get familiar with a COP officer there and spend some time with the community. All the community centers will also be hosting. All the COP houses will be hosting, except Mead Street. They'll be joining the Bryant Center. It is a great night for the community to be outside. And Douglas Park will have a movie after dark. So they've been doing this for quite a long time. It'll be a great night out, Don. So I hope to see you there. It's Tuesday night.
That was the bonus topic.
It is the bonus topic. Thanks for letting me fit it in because okay. I love celebrating when people can get out of their homes, get off of their electronic devices, and just spend time with each other. Just enjoy what Racine has to offer, just the natural spaces and the people that make community.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Don.
I know I just slept to get in there at this hour of the morning, but thank you.
Yeah, it's, okay. It's been great.